Chapter 59. Mr. Pickwick journeys to Ipswich and meets with a romantic adventure with a middle-aged lady in yellow curl papers. That ear your governor's luggage, Sammy? ? Inquired Mr. Weller of his affectionate son, as he entered the yard of the Bull Inn, Whitechapel, with a travelling bag and a small portmanteau. You might have made a worser guess than that, old feller, replied Mr. Weller the younger, setting down his burden in the yard, and sitting himself down upon it afterwards. The governor hissle'll be down here presently. He's a cabinet, I suppose? said the father. Yes, he's a haven't too mile o' danger at 8d, responded the son. How's mother-in-law this morning? Queer, Sammy, replied the elder Mr. Weller, with impressive gravity. She's been getting raither in the Methodistical order lately, Sammy, and she is uncommon pious, to be sure. She's too good a creature for me, Sammy. I feel I don't deserve her. Said Mr. Samuel. That's worry self-denying o' you. Replied his parent, with a sigh. She's got hold o' some invention for grown-up people being born again, Sammy the new birth, I think they calls it. I should worry much like to see that system in action, Sammy. I should worry much like to see your mother-in-law born again. Wouldn't I put her out to nurse? What do you think them women does t'other day? Continued Mr. Weller, after a short pause, during which he had significantly struck the side of his nose with his forefinger some half dozen times. What do you think they does, t'other day, Sammy? Replied Sam. What? Goes and gets up a grand tea drinking for a feller they calls their shepherd, said Mr. Weller. I was a standing staring in at the picture shop down at our place, when I sees a little bill about it, tickets half a crown. All applications to be made to the committee. Secretary, Mrs. Weller, and when I got home there was the committee a sitting in our back parlor. 14 women. I wish you could ha heard 'em, Sammy. There they was, a passin' resolutions, and votin' supplies, and all sorts o' games. Well, what with your mother-in-law a-worrying me to go, and what with my looking forward to seeing some queer starts if I did, I put my name down for a ticket. At 6 o'clock on the Friday evening I dresses myself out worry smart, and off I goes with the old woman, and up we walks into a first floor, where there was tea things for 30, and a whole lot o' women as begins whispering to one another, and looking at me, as if they'd never seen a rather stout gentleman of 58 afore. By and by, there comes a great bustle downstairs, and a lanky chap with a red nose, and a white neckcloth rushes up, and sings out, here's the shepherd a-coming, to whisset his faithful flock, and in comes a fat chap in black, with a great white face, a-smiling of a-like clockwork. Such goings on, Sammy. The kiss of peace, says the shepherd. And then he kissed the women all round, and when he'd done, the man with the red nose began. I was just a-thinkin', whether I hadn't better begin to specially as there was a worry nice lady a-sittin' next me when in comes the tea, and your mother-in-law, as had been makin' the kettle bile downstairs. At it they went, tooth and nail. Such a precious loud hymn, Sammy, while the tea was a-brewing, such a grace, such eatin' and drinkin'. I wish you could ha seen the shepherd walking into the ham and muffins. I never see such a chap, to eat and drink never. The red-nosed man weren't by no means the sort of person you'd like to grub by contract, but he was nothing to the shepherd. Well, arter the tea was over, they sang another hymn, and then the shepherd began to preach. And worry well he did it, considering how heavy the muffins must have lied on his chest. Presently he pulls up, all of a sudden, and hollers out, where is the sinner, where is the miserable sinner? Upon which, all the women looked at me, and began to groan, as if they was a-dying. I thought it was rather singular, but howsoever, I says nothing. Presently he pulls up again, and looking worry hard at me, says, "Where is the sinner? Where is the miserable sinner?" And all the women groans again, 10 times louder than afore. I got rather savage at this, so I takes a step or two forward and says, "My friend," says I, "did you apply that ere observation to me?" Instead of begging my pardon as any gentleman would ha' done, he got more abusive than ever. Called me a wessel, Sammy a wessel of wrath and all sorts o' names. So my blood being regularly up, I first gave him 2 or 3 for himself, and then 2 or 3 more to hand over to the man with the red nose, and walked off. I wish you could ha' heard how the women screamed, "Sammy," when they picked up the shepherd from underneath the table hollow. Here's the governor, the size of life. Apostrophe, as Mr. Weller spoke, Mr. Pickwick dismounted from a cab, and entered the yard. "Fine morning, sir," apostrophe said Mr. Weller, senior. "Beautiful indeed," apostrophe replied Mr. Pickwick. "Beautiful indeed," apostrophe echoes a red-haired man with an inquisitive nose and green spectacles, who had unpacked himself from a cab at the same moment as Mr. Pickwick. "Going to Ipswich, sir?" Apostrophe, "I am," apostrophe replied Mr. Pickwick. "Extraordinary coincidence. So am one." Apostrophe, Mr. Pickwick bowed. "Going outside?" Apostrophe said the red-haired man. Mr. Pickwick bowed again. "Bless my soul, how remarkable I am going outside to," apostrophe said the red-haired man. "We are positively going together." Apostrophe and the red-haired man, who was an important-looking, sharp-nosed, mysterious-spoken personage, with a bird-like habit of giving his head a jerk every time he said anything, smiled as if he had made one of the strangest discoveries that ever fell to the lot of human wisdom. "I am happy in the prospect of your company, sir," apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick. "Ah," apostrophe said the newcomer, "it's a good thing for both of us, isn't it? Company, you see, company is it's a very different thing from solitude, ain't it?" Apostrophe, "there's no denying that ere," apostrophe said Mr. Weller, joining in the conversation, with an affable smile. "That's what I call a self-evident proposition, as the dog's meat man said, when the housemaid told him he weren't a gentleman." Apostrophe said the red-haired man, surveying Mr. Weller from head to foot with a supercilious look. "Friend of yours, sir?" Apostrophe, "not exactly a friend," apostrophe replied Mr. Pickwick, in a low tone. "The fact is, he is my servant, but I allow him to take a good many liberties. For, between ourselves, I flatter myself he is an original, and I am rather proud of him." Apostrophe said the red-haired man, "that, you see, is a matter of taste. I am not fond of anything original. I don't like it. Don't see the necessity for it. What's your name, sir?" Apostrophe, "here is my card, sir," apostrophe replied Mr. Pickwick, much amused by the abruptness of the question, and the singular manner of the stranger. "Ah," apostrophe said the red-haired man, placing the card in his pocketbook, "Pickwick, very good. I like to know a man's name, it saves so much trouble. That's my card, sir. Magnus, you will perceive, Sir Magnus is my name. It's rather a good name, I think, sir." Apostrophe, "a very good name, indeed," apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick, wholly unable to repress a smile. "Yes, I think it is," apostrophe resumed Mr. Magnus. "There's a good name before it too, you will observe. Permit me, sir, if you hold the card a little slanting, this way, you catch the light upon the upstroke. There, Peter Magnus sounds well, I think, sir." Apostrophe, "very," apostrophe said Mr. Pickwick. "Curious circumstance about those initials, sir," apostrophe said Mr. Magnus. "You will observe P. M. Post Meridian. In hasty notes to intimate acquaintance, I sometimes sign myself Afternoon. It amuses my friends very much, Mr. Pickwick." Apostrophe, it is calculated to afford them the highest gratification, I should conceive. Apostrophe, said Mr. Pickwick, rather envying the ease with which Mr. Magnus's friends were entertained. Now, gentlemen, apostrophe, said the hostler, coach is ready, if you please. Apostrophe, is all my luggage in? Apostrophe, inquired Mr. Magnus. All right, sir. Apostrophe, is the red bag in? Apostrophe, all right, sir. Apostrophe, and the striped bag? Apostrophe, four boot, sir. Apostrophe, and the brown paper parcel? Apostrophe, under the seat, sir. Apostrophe, and the leather hat box? Apostrophe, they're all in, sir. Apostrophe, now, will you get up? Apostrophe, said Mr. Pickwick. Excuse me, apostrophe, replied Magnus, standing on the wheel. Excuse me, Mr. Pickwick. I cannot consent to get up in this state of uncertainty. I am quite satisfied from that man's manner that the leather hat box is not in. Apostrophe, the solemn protestations of the hostler being wholly unavailing, the leather hat box was obliged to be raked up from the lowest depth of the boot, to satisfy him that it had been safely packed, and after he had been assured on this head, he felt a solemn presentiment, first, that the red bag was mislaid, and next that the striped bag had been stolen, and then that the brown paper parcel had come untied. Apostrophe, at length, when he had received ocular demonstration of the groundless nature of each and every of these suspicions, he consented to climb up to the roof of the coach, observing that now he had taken everything off his mind, he felt quite comfortable and happy. You're given to nervousness, ain't you, sir? Apostrophe, inquired Mr. Weller, senior, eyeing the stranger askance, as he mounted to his place. Yes, I always am rather about these little matters, apostrophe, said the stranger, but I am all right now, quite right. Apostrophe, well, that's a blessin', said Mr. Weller. Sammy, help your master up to the box. T'other leg, sir, that's it. Give us your hand, sir. Up with you. You was a lighter weight when you was a boy, sir. Apostrophe, true enough, that, Mr. Weller, apostrophe, said the breathless Mr. Pickwick good-humoredly, as he took his seat on the box beside him. Jump up in front, Sammy, apostrophe, said Mr. Weller. Now, Willem, run him out. Take care o' the archway, gentlemen. Heads, as the pieman says. That'll do, Willem. Let him alone. Apostrophe, and away went the coach up Whitechapel, to the admiration of the whole population of that pretty densely populated quarter. Not a very nice neighborhood, this, sir, apostrophe, said Sam, with a touch of the hat, which always preceded his entering into conversation with his master. It is not indeed, Sam, apostrophe, replied Mr. Pickwick, surveying the crowded and filthy street through which they were passing. It's a very remarkable circumstance, sir, apostrophe, said Sam, that poverty and oysters always seem to go together. Apostrophe, I don't understand you, Sam, apostrophe, said Mr. Pickwick. What I mean, sir, apostrophe, said Sam, is that the poorer a place is, the greater call there seems to be for oysters. Look here, sir, here's oyster stall to every half dozen houses. The streets lined with them. Blessed if I don't think that when a man's worry poor, he rushes out of his lodgings, and eats oysters in reglar desperation. Apostrophe, to be sure he does, apostrophe, said Mr. Weller, senior, and it's just the same with pickled salmon. Apostrophe, those are two very remarkable facts, which never occurred to me before, apostrophe, said Mr. Pickwick. The very first place we stop at, I'll make a note of them. Apostrophe, by this time they had reached the turnpike at Mile End. A profound silence prevailed until they had got 2 or 3 miles farther on, when Mr. Weller, Sr., turning suddenly to Mr. Pickwick, said, "Worry queer life as a pike keeper's, sir." Apostrophe, a what? Apostrophe, said Mr. Pickwick. A pike keeper. Apostrophe, what do you mean by a pipe keeper? Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquired Mr. Peter Magnus. The old un means a turnpike keeper, gentlemen, apostrophe, observed Mr. Samuel Weller, in explanation. Oh, apostrophe, said Mr. Pickwick, I see. Yes, very curious life. Very uncomfortable. Apostrophe, they're all on the men as has met with some disappointment in life, apostrophe, said Mr. Weller, senior. Apostrophe, said Mr. Pickwick. Yes. Consequence of which, they retires from the world, and shuts themselves up in pikes, partly with the view of being solitary, and partly to revenge themselves on mankind by taking tolls. Apostrophe, dear me, apostrophe, said Mr. Pickwick, I never knew that before. Apostrophe, fact, sir, apostrophe, said Mr. Weller. If they was gentlemen, you'd call them misanthropes, but as it is, they only takes to pike keeping. Apostrophe, with such conversation, possessing the inestimable charm of blending amusement with instruction, did Mr. Weller beguile the tediousness of the journey during the greater part of the day. Topics of conversation were never wanting, for even when any pause occurred in Mr. Weller's loquacity, it was abundantly supplied by the desire evinced by Mr. Magnus to make himself acquainted with the whole of the personal history of his fellow travelers, and his loudly expressed anxiety at every stage respecting the safety and well-being of the two bags, the leather hat box, and the brown paper parcel. In the main street of Ipswich, on the left-hand side of the way, a short distance after you have passed through the open space fronting the town hall, stands an unknown far and wide by the Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.